Welcome to MetaStrategy's Forum on World-Class IT. I'm Peter Hai, and I'm pleased to welcome Andy Karaboutis to the broadcast. Andy is the Vice President and Global Chief Information Officer of Dell, a post she's held since November of 2011. In this role, she's responsible for managing the global IT enterprise focused on technology breakthroughs for the company and its customers. Prior to her appointment in 2011, Andy served as Dell's Vice President of IT, supporting the product groups, manufacturing, procurement, and supply chain operations. Before her tenure at Dell, Andy was the Executive Director, Global Purchasing and Supply Chain Information Officer at General Motors. Andy also spent about 15 years at Ford Motor Company and as a Software Quality Assurance Coordinator at CompuWare Corporation. She began her career as a software engineer at MedR Inc. Andy has a Bachelor of Science degree in Computer Science and a Master of Science degree in Computer Control Systems from Wayne State University, and has completed the Executive Leadership Program in Marketing Management from Duke University's Fuqua School of Business. I recently caught up with Andy in her office in Austin, Texas, and our conversation focused on World-Class IT Principle 4, IT and Business Partnerships, as Andy discussed the close partnership she has with the Chief Marketing Officer of Dell, the customer-centric mentality adopted company-wide and reflected in the IT department as it focuses on customer-centric innovations, as well as a variety of other topics. Well, Andy Karaboutis, welcome to the Forum on World-Class IT.
Pleasure to be here with you, Peter. Thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. Well, Andy, Dell has been going through quite a transformation in recent months, not the least of which was the organization going private after having been a public company for some time. And I wonder, in your time, how these changes have manifested themselves in the IT department, if at all.
So, you know, interestingly, Peter, one of the things that Michael Dell says and we've all held very strongly to is the strategy of Dell and our focus to becoming, continuing to be a world-class end-to-end solutions company has stayed pretty steadfast and at the core of what we're doing. Similarly, the strategy of IT and the goals of IT and our focus continue to be the same, which is the customer is at the center of everything that we do, and developing our roadmaps, our plans, our strategies, implementation of disruptive technology around that continues to be very core. I think the big difference, if you were to say to me that there must be some difference, I'd say you're right. The big difference is the intensified focus and speed with which we're actually pursuing those goals and objectives. Obviously, as a public company, you have different and added sort of burdens, if you will, around Wall Street, quarterly earnings, focus on sales in shorter time periods, whereas as a private company, our focus is on short, medium, and longer term methods and objectives of how we want to execute things. So it just lets us be that much more intense, if you will, around our strategy. So I'd say that's kind of where we are now, same strategy and objectives.
And another thing that's come up an awful lot is the migration of Dell or the path of Dell to become more of a solutions-based business. And I was wondering if that also has any kind of bearing on how you manage IT or how you support this change within the rest of the organization.
We went from being a hugely successful hardware-centric company to, through 19 acquisitions in a very short period of time, and actually probably 25 or more acquisitions over 4 or 5 years, to becoming an end-to-end solutions company where we provide not just client hardware, but enterprise services and software as well, which makes up that continuum of the end-to-end solutions. What that's done internally for Dell IT is said, look, there's some new capabilities and a new rhythm to which we've had to operate in order to bring to bear some of the functionality we never needed before. So, for example, digital fulfillment, recurring billing, and things like that that come with the need of software. And so we've had to step back, take a look at all the capabilities that we have from a design, market, sell, build, fulfill perspective. And now with the new end-to-end solutions menu, what are the new capabilities that are needed around that? And so I think that's been the change in the what. The change in the how has been faster, more intense, customer at the center, and using as much of the disruptive technologies as we possibly can. And even as a tech company, we're obviously very focused on making sure that we're socially minded, mobile, analytics, cloud, strategy for Internet of Things, and the rest of the disruptive technologies in play.
Well, you bring up an interesting point, and that is, of course, you are an IT executive in a sea of IT experts. And you mentioned the fact that, understandably, you are leveraging a lot of the important trends, business and IT trends, that are on the minds of so many IT executives. A difference, of course, relative to a lot of peers of yours, and in fact, even relative to your past experiences in organizations that were not necessarily quite as tech-centric, the business, so to speak, is technology. And I wonder, how then does your role and your team's role fit into that of the many engineers of the organization as you're thinking about leveraging trends and translating that back into the needs that they're articulating?
Being a CIO in a tech company is just an absolute blast, Peter, because I do have these thousands of employees around me who, by definition, we are providers of technology to other organizations, and therefore we want to do several things. First off, it's hugely important that we do what I call drink our own champagne, or Dell on Dell. So each and every product that we offer where we can show that it scales to a large enterprise customer like ourselves is a reference for our salespeople and for other CIOs to see. So Dell on Dell becomes very important, which, you know, when I was in the auto industry, yes, of course I drove all the vehicles, but I wasn't necessarily the organization that provided core feedback into things that should change, how does it scale, et cetera, like it is at Dell. Secondly, we work very closely, and it's tangent to the first point, with our product development teams to say, hey, we have use cases here that might not have been thought of for large-scale enterprise, but designed more toward a midpoint or small business. And so we provide that kind of feedback in that's an adaptive loop that helps develop our products even more. And then obviously we meet externally with CIOs. A lot of CIOs want to hear, are you using your own product and how did you put it in and what were the lessons learned, et cetera. And so we provide that. The other really fun and interesting point about being the CIO in a tech company is we've developed an incubation team in and of ourselves that goes out and really seeks emerging technologies, our own, partnered with some of the partners that we have, and implement things that become opportunities for actually leveraging sales externally. Let me give you an example. We've got a great partnership with Google around the Google appliance, and we just launched Google Search internally, took down all the traditional websites that employees navigate through to get to information, and we fully implemented Google Search. And that was in the spirit of the consumer experience, partnering with a company that we're selling together with, the Google appliance, going to market with, and also showing innovation and sort of great entrepreneurial spirit internally. Very exciting to be the CIO of a tech company. It really is, especially at Dell.
What's apparent also is the degree to which yours is a function that is also externally facing, in addition to being internally facing. You know, historically, this is a role that is the chief information officer that has been primarily an internal role. And it seems very apparent that one of the advantages of the Dell on Dell strategy is that you can be an advocate to your peers and talk about the way in which you have used what you would hope that they would think about using as well as they are purchasing Dell's services, Dell's solutions, etc. As you've thought about that, the implications of that with the rest of your team, does that mean that you've had to ensure that your reports and the broader team has a clearer cognizance of the needs of end customers than perhaps historically the chief information or IT role would have?
Absolutely. That's the case for two reasons. One, because of what we're talking about here, where we're external references, we talk to customers. We've done over 500 plus briefings with various companies around our Dell on Dell story and implementations. But the other reason is a lot of the work that we're doing with Karen Kintos, our Chief Marketing Officer, around actually really putting the customer at the center of everything and how do we expedite gaining insights, et cetera, at the speed of the customer, not the speed of IT. And that kind of recognition is also a different perspective as to why we've become extremely externally focused. And that kind of led us down, Peter, a path of how do we provide self-service to our internal constituents so that they can develop models and develop IT themselves, if you will, to get faster insights to the end customer. So it's kind of two separate and different reasons that's really driven us to be much more customer focused.
That's great. You mentioned Karen Kintos, your CMO, the Chief Marketing Officer of Dell. And I know that that's a particularly special relationship for you personally and for the organizations more generally speaking. And there's so much written, as I'm sure you've seen, on the need for more closeness, proximity between the CIO organization and the CMO's organization, and even a lot of controversy as to one department stepping on the other's toes or taking over a greater part of the other's budget. There's this famous Gartner pontification that by 2017, the CMO and the marketing department will control more of the IT spend than will the CIO. I wonder, you know, as somebody who does have, in fact, a very close relationship, and as you've just described, a very sophisticated way in thinking about the partnership between the CIO and CMO. I wonder if you have any of your own thoughts on the evolution of that relationship as it applies to Dell and the specifics of yours and Karen's relationship, but more generally speaking as well.
I think a lot has been said and written about our relationship, Karen's and mine, and you know the fact that we actually, candidly, Peter, scratch our heads when we read a lot of the industry anecdotes and stuff about the CMO is taking over the CIO, the CMO has budget, et cetera, because when you operate as a company, and this is kudos to Michael and the entire Dell leadership team, with the mindset of customer first, and we're all rallying behind that, then you start to think, how do we get to the best insights so that we can respond the quickest to things to our customers and set things up as great personalization strategies, great targeting strategies, market or product change, et cetera. And then all of a sudden, these secondary and tertiary things of who's got more budget and who's doing what are just that, secondary and tertiary. And so Karen and I have forged a relationship where we talk about, look, we've got to have speed. Great. So Karen, how do I set you up with speed? Let me do my own modeling. Excellent. So we took our data warehouse, we set it up in a three-tier architecture, and we gave marketing a sandbox that said, go do your own modeling, and then when it's ready, let's put it in production together and things like that. And you know, it's interesting. I think it was maybe a month or a month and a half ago, Karen actually said, I guess we should know what each other's budget is because everybody says that one of us or the other has more. And it was really a joke between us.
Right.
But I will say, if you asked about the general, I think the guidance or advice, or at least from my experience, comments I would give to other CMOs and CIOs is to do exactly what we've done. Put the customer at the center and figure out who's got the best strengths in each aspect of what you need to do in order to gain the insights of the customer and work together. And the recognition is full stop this. Marketers have technology savvy marketeers, and IT has people that understands marketing, and you bring that together and you can disrupt and really win in the marketplace. I wish it was something a lot more complicated than that, but it really is that. It's a culture change and then a drive toward understanding marketing and technology together and what they can bring.
Yeah, I really like that. In some ways, this competitiveness that is suggested in so much that's written really does have kind of an internal lens to it, whereas I think you make such a great point that when you provide the external lens, ultimately the most important lens, that of the customer, there may be some of these powerful conclusions you might come to about you know, how each of you can bring different things to the table. I really like that. I also was wondering, I know that social media is something that you've contemplated leveraging to a great extent. You have a fairly sophisticated means of managing social media. And I wonder if you could talk a bit about how you do so at Dell and to what end.
First off, internally, we're a very social company. I mean, we have Chatter as our tool, the SFDC Chatter tool, and probably one of the most active users is our CEO, and he kind of sets the tone down from there, and we use it very, very heavily internally. I've even turned IT to social to listen to our customer base for our own issues. What I say is, look, there's clinical data and there's pathological data, right? And our trouble tickets and the formal processes are one form of insight into how well we're doing in IT. But it's amazing when you go to a social site on a Saturday morning and you look at our connected workplace groups and they're talking about, wow, the network's working so much faster, what change was made, or, hey, I'm still having an issue with this here. And we're actually monitoring all those things sort of as a internal customer first to drive our performance a lot stronger. From an external perspective, I think you've probably seen, read, and maybe even written about, Peter, that what Karen's done with social media and our social media center, which I think is world class, on how we listen to our customers externally and gain the insights that we need in order to, again, modify our approaches, target sell, personalization, and even take insights into our products. So we can get you more information on that, but there's just a tremendous external social media focus from Karen and her team and all of us, actually.
I also wanted to ask you, Hans, you mentioned earlier in the interview, you come from the automotive industry earlier in your career, and I've always been amazed by the number of successful IT executives who have emerged from companies like GM and Ford and others, as you have. What is it about that experience that has lent itself, perhaps other than size? Obviously, these are big companies, and there are, I suppose, a lot of opportunities for strong IT executives and a lot of CIO roles in different parts of the chain and so forth, which might lend themselves well to the establishment of strong leadership characteristics. But is there anything about one's experience in the automotive industry that you think has lent itself well to such a profound development of leaders who have now spread like seeds across a variety of industries, just as you have?
My 20 years, I spent 15 at Ford and 6 at General Motors, were absolutely tremendous years, and I have a ton of respect and time for the automotive industry. A couple things. The auto industry provides a fantastic platform for discipline, the structure, the rigor, and the quality, focus on quality that's needed to really propel forward as what I would say really strong CIOs. So that common base and the time to train, develop, grow, et cetera, is something the auto industry is very good at. Personal experience, Peter, when I was coming up through the industry, I was told if you're to be a successful leader, we want to develop you in two ways. First, you leave the geography, and you have to gain a global perspective, not just by leading a global team, but living elsewhere. And I went to Europe for 2.5 years. The second thing was, and I've been quoted as saying the best IT experience I ever had was not being in IT. I was sent cross-functionally and ran production control at Ford for a period of time, first North America and then globally, and spent 6 years out of IT in the auto industry. That kind of foresight and that kind of planning in building and investing in people is something that I think is a core reason as to why, to your point, you have seen so many of us propel forward and reach great positions like the one I'm at Dell and others in the field. But I attribute both of those, the discipline, rigor, process, and the fact that we saw many models outside source model, in-source model, hybrid model, et cetera. But that active development of people in technology and IT was really at the backbone of success for me. And I hold the auto industry and one of the best that does that.
So is that something then that you've brought with you to the culture at Dell IT as well and trying to get people semester abroad there or a variety of experience so that they are sort of expanding their personal toolboxes, so to speak?
It is. We develop people globally. We give people global teams. We send people on international assignments. And we try to rotate in. And by the way, this is in the DNA of Dell as well, rotating people through various departments to get what we call the wide angle lens view of the company. And so while many people argue it's about depth is important or breadth is important, it's not either or, it's both. And we really try to follow that and develop talent as best we can at Dell. So it's similar concepts executed in various ways at Dell.
We've talked about a few different IT trends, business trends that are fueled by technology and fueled by better use of information. I wanted to just circle back and see if there are any others that particularly excite you as you look a few years out, as you think about like your own plans for the year or for the foreseeable future. What are some of the trends that particularly excite you?
You know, in addition to the traditional, what we call the SMAC, obviously, social mobile analytics and cloud, analytics is one that really excites me because I think it's ripe for it. If you take the Internet of Things, which is yet another trend, and marry it with, obviously, analytics, because you can't gain insights on the plethora of data unless you've got the right analytics, whether you have structured and unstructured data coming in. Those two together are probably the two that really excite me. I think there's great opportunity. I mean, the others are very important as well and very much linked. But I think the opportunity to, in various industries, especially industries like healthcare, for example, which is probably one that's up and coming in opportunity, in other industries, I think there's just a huge potential for the benefit that can be gained for the end customer or the people, if you will. And I think that's really important. I think we've got some opportunity, for example, in the Internet of Things, architecture is important, and that hasn't been built out, a common framework and architecture. But I think it's going to be, in the next 2 or 3 years, probably the biggest disruptor that we have.
Well, Andy Karaboutis, thank you so much for joining us on the Forum on World Class IT and sharing some of your perspectives and some of the insights that have made you the successful executive that you are. It's been a great conversation.
Thank you very much, Peter. I appreciate the time and wish you a happy weekend.
You've just listened to a podcast in a series we call MetaStrategies Forum on World Class IT. If you like what you've heard, please consider reading my book, World Class IT, Why Businesses Succeed When IT Triumphs, published by Josie Bass, a division of Wiley Press, in December of 2009. Both the book and the Forum on World Class IT offer stories from a wide range of top IT leaders relating to MetaStrategies' 5 principles of world class IT. The 5 principles are as follows. Principle 1 is people, and it's really the foundational principle. Without the right people doing the right jobs at the right time, it'll be nearly impossible to achieve excellent performance. The second principle is infrastructure. We like to say that this is the principle that separates proactive organizations from reactive ones. If infrastructure is not reliably performing its tasks, the IT organization will become stuck in reactive mode, consistently fighting fires. If systems and hardware and networks and so on work reliably, then a larger portion of the organization can think about the future. The third principle is project and portfolio management. This is the engine through which new capabilities can be brought to bear on behalf of the company. It is important to ensure that projects are delivered on time, on budget, and on target, and that the portfolio collectively supports the objectives of the business. The fourth principle is IT and business partnerships. It's important that, first and foremost, the different parts of IT, from business analysis to development and QA, through to support and all other aspects of IT, communicate effectively and efficiently. It's equally important, then, that IT develop a partnering relationship with the business that it is a part of. If the 3 prior principles are done well, then IT should earn a place at the strategy setting table, driving different parts of the business strategy. The 5th and last principle is external partnerships. Outsourcing is becoming a crucial weapon that organizations are employing, and managing these relationships to ensure that value is achieved is critical. In the 4th principle, the organization has learned and contributed to the discussion about what is strategic and what is not. Once that's clear, then it will be easier to determine which aspects of IT might be better managed by external partners or vendors. For more information on these 5 principles and the sub-principles that are associated with each, please visit our website at www.metastrategy.com, and please share your thoughts and comments by contacting us at feedback@metastrategy.com. And our theme music was written by David Armin. I'm Peter High. Thanks for listening.